Rob Andrew, welcome to Worldviews.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Rob, you serve as our diplomat in residence, but let's talk a little bit about your diplomatic career. You've had some very interesting posts around the world. You've served in Sweden and Mexico and Russia and Costa Rica. And so, I mean, these are like very different locations, and you've worked on some very different issues, NATO and the European Union when you were in Sweden, and drug trafficking and those sorts of issues when you were in Latin America, and then obviously just defense and security policy regarding Russia. So tell us a little bit about your career, kind of how you got there, became that foreign service officer, and how you've managed to move around the world in a way that you've juggled all of these different issues and topics and countries.
Well, certainly, I'm happy to do that. Having a career internationally is something I kind of have always wanted to do. I was a military officer before I came into the Foreign Service. I had my first assignment was in Germany. You're actually looking at, so to speak, one of the last people to ever patrol the old east-west German border for the U.S. Army. So that really brought my attention to international issues. Later on in my military career, I was training to be what they call a foreign area officer, which is what you find in embassies as defense attachés and other people who support that. Well, I still loved the Army, but I was looking to do something a little bit different and to stay at embassies a little bit more full-time or as more as a career than what the military would allow me to do. So I took the Foreign Service test on a whim, and I passed it. I was invited to the orals, and I passed those. And poof, I became a brand new Foreign Service officer about 14 years ago. And I will say it was definitely the international background. My mother was Canadian, not that far from us, but nevertheless, that inspired me at a young age. My brother moved to Rhodesia and Zimbabwe and South Africa when I was actually, he's about 10 years older than me. So I've always been focused outside the country. So between my own family situation and my military background, that certainly set me up for a great foundation for an international career. In my Foreign Service career itself, I've had a varied, differing amounts of countries that I've been to. One would say, why aren't you just concentrating in one area? Well, there are a couple schools of thought at the State Department about Foreign Service officers. Some say, well, you should specialize in a region. Others say you might want to have a little bit more of a broad experience and have some expertise in more than one part of the world. So I certainly took that second part on. I had a great Spanish language background, so obviously Mexico and Costa Rica felt very comfortable for me to work down there in those various issues. In Mexico, I worked with visas and adjudicating visas. In Costa Rica, something completely different, working on counter-narcotics issues. It was a great job down there in Costa Rica. They're a great friend and ally of the U.S. in interdiction efforts. And then with the European side, with Russia and with Sweden, I certainly – that was what I view as broadening my views, getting a little bit different viewpoint of the world. Of course, 7 continents in the world, there'd be many more places I would like to serve, but so far that's where I've been concentrating on.
So in terms of the different posts that you've had, is there anything in particular that stands out to you in terms of like things that you've – I mean, I just have to think working in Moscow, for example, you know, has got to be – I've been to Russia a few times. It's like sure. Pretty exotic and interesting. And obviously the times at which you were there, pretty challenging times. But also Sweden is fascinating. Mexico – I mean, these are just – what sticks out to you? Or is this something that, you know, you're just like you can love and appreciate it all?
Well, all of the above. We'll start with Moscow very briefly here. I have to tell you that since I was a little kid, I'd been fascinated by the Soviet Union and Russia, more in the sense of who the heck are these guys who think that they can nuke us, you know, when I was a little kid type of thing. So when I was in the 7th grade in grade school, I wrote the Soviet consulate in San Francisco. I'm from California. And I said, and I wrote something along the lines of, who do you people think you are? But can you send me some information about your country because I'm doing a book report on you? And so that started my lifelong fascination with Russia, the Soviet Union. And really my tour in the Foreign Service was a culmination of that goal to better understand that country, its issues, our relationship with the Russians. As complicated and difficult as it is a necessary relationship, especially today with what is going on in the world, whether it's with Iran or Syria, or good cooperation with the International Space Station, I might add. So, yes, it's certainly an exotic environment in that sense, challenging environment, but nevertheless, it's a relationship that we have to have.
Well, you weren't kidding. Your global interest started at a very young age, and the fact that you knew at seven, who do you think you guys are that you think you can nuke us? That's great. Well, let's talk a little bit about the challenges of today's State Department. Most of us are familiar with the fact that the State Department struggles in some ways, funding-wise. They also have a huge, you know, mission to manage our diplomatic relations around the world for a country that has relations with countries around the world. We, you know, have interests around the world. We're a global player and globally active. How is it today that the State Department is managing its diplomatic relations? It's tough to see where the diplomacy is, and yet we know that it's happening on a daily basis. But what makes the news, what we see in the news, of course, are you know, wars in the Middle East and, you know, U.S. military engagement and, you know, our policing efforts and not so much the diplomatic engagement. So tell us a little bit about what the state of the State Department today and kind of some of the challenges they're facing.
That's a fantastic question. I think many people here in the United States really don't understand a lot of the efforts that go on behind the scenes. Remember, usually what makes the news are things like wars and challenges and failures, perhaps, where it really is the day-to-day practical diplomacy that our diplomats are doing to maintain relationships with some of our best friends. You know, it's just like a personal relationship. If you want to be a friend to somebody, you need to work on that. Or in a marriage. You work on your marriage all the time. It's very, very similar. I like to use those terms, and it's a challenge. So whether we're dealing with France or Russia or Vietnam or China or Syria, these are relationships that we have to continue to work on. In terms of some of the challenges, yes, I would certainly agree and would point out to former Secretary of Defense, not State, former Secretary of Defense Gates, when he mentioned that the State Department budget should be increased dramatically to help us achieve our foreign policy goals. When we go to a military solution, often it's a failure of diplomacy. And so I think we do a very good job at diplomacy, but certainly we could get a few more resources here and there to do that. I will just, if I can very briefly mention that, one of our challenges is also manning all of our consular issues, just taking care of Americans overseas or adjudicating visas. And we don't have enough Foreign Service officers to do that. So we've implemented a new program called Consular Fellows to try and get people to come into the department to help handle those issues and taking care of our clients overseas, which includes some of the most difficult languages out there, such as Russian and Arabic and Mandarin Chinese. So these are challenges we face all the time. Despite all of those challenges, I think we do pretty well most of the time. Certainly, I give a lot of credit to Colin Powell when he was Secretary of State for getting a lot of resources into the State Department when it really had become it was lacking resources. I mean, when he came on board, Suzette, this is really interesting. In the year 2001, the first administration of the George W. Bush administration and Colin Powell, Secretary of State, we were still using Wang computers. Over half of our Foreign Service officers did not have access to the internet around the world. Even in the year 2000, most people did. So he brought a lot of changes. I would say that all of the secretaries of state since then, including Secretary Clinton and Secretary Kerry, did a good job in doing that as well.
That is really remarkable to hear that in 2001 there was the State Department was or the, that our diplomatic efforts around the world were that behind, despite the criticism I'm quite familiar with and people working well above their pay grade and that sort of thing. So it is a credit to the government that they've been able to update that. But I want to follow back up on something
Sure.
you said regarding relationships because I think I love the way that you put it that diplomacy is about building and maintaining and servicing, stewarding those those relationships. What would you say, though, are some of the most difficult situations today, the most difficult relationships? I mean, we can maybe come up pretty quickly with things like Syria, for example, as you mentioned, but North Korea? How are we managing that situation in light of, you know, continued military movements there? China, how complicated is that? What would you rank as the top difficult relationships that we have to deal with?
Well, you've certainly named some of them. North Korea remains an issue, especially they continue to test weapon systems, ballistic missiles. Just a news article yesterday said that we can now nuke the U.S. So those are certainly challenges that we have to deal with. I mean, the rhetoric, I think, is a little bit stronger than their actual capabilities. But I think maybe some, you know, it doesn't make the headlines every day, but the six-party talks have been on and off, which include China and the two Koreas and Russia, the U.S., And it's North Korea, certainly a challenge. China is a challenge. We think of the South China Sea island competition. Despite that, China is huge, the biggest economy in the world. Sometimes the U.S. is, sometimes China is. And that relationship is so deep, we cannot ignore it. So certainly a challenge with China, but not any type of challenge that we can't handle. We're up to that. We're up to working with the Chinese. Russia, Ukraine, certainly another issue. Ukraine is a part of the world where we have a potential conflict between East and West, and that's never a good path to go down. So that one gets a lot of attention by Washington, of course, and our European allies. Certainly ISIS, terrorism, Iraq and Syria, ongoing issue. And by the way, let's not forget what we call our ongoing or longest war, which is Afghanistan. Still, things are not quite where they should be in Afghanistan. We're working very hard with our Afghan allies. So there's no dearth of challenges for diplomacy around the world. My job security is there.
Well, I'm certainly getting that message that we definitely have our work cut out for us, the U.S. government, in terms of its diplomatic efforts. Thank you so much, Ralph, for being here today, sharing your experience. I appreciate it.
Certainly a pleasure. Thank you.